The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
You've got to have low pads. If you exposure pads, told the guys last night, first thing's going to hit the back of your head or get grass stains on your jersey because you ain't going to be able to maintain 350 and 350 in this position. Okay, so what we're going to ask you to do is put your hand down on that player's foot, okay, next to you, okay, leave it there, okay, and step at a 45 degree angle and get your cleats in the ground. Not your toe in the ground, your cleats, all those studs, all that, get them in the ground as fast as you can. That's what happens in field goal protection. First one to get their cleats in the ground wins.
That is the voice of Bears special teams coordinator Jeff Rogers teaching the guys down on the North team at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. We thank ChicagoBears.com for that audio, but that gives you a little bit of an inside look at what the Bears coaching staff is up to this week down in Alabama. Hi, everyone. It's another edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score alongside 85 Bear. Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabin. Happy to have you aboard. Our phone number is 312-644-6767. We'll be taking your phone calls throughout the hour here on the show. Jim Miller, the former Bears quarterback, will join us at the bottom of the hour to talk about what he's seeing down in Mobile firsthand. But, you know, Tom, they open up all these practices now, and you can watch what's going on TV. I know the last couple of days that you've paid close attention to what's happening down there. What's caught your eye?
Well, it's kind of the good news and the bad news of it. The third pick in the draft is not playing in this game. So the Bears' luxury of being the coaches for the North squad, they're not sitting there in meetings identifying this player they're going to pick in the with the third pick in the draft. The good news is I think this draft is going to be you're going to see the profit of this draft in the second round, third round, and fourth round pick. And those guys are at this football game on both sides, North and South. So I do think that that third pick in the draft is easily identifiable. You're going to understand what position you need the most and who's the best player at that position. But when you go and you get these second, third, fourth, and fifth round players that are really going to be the core of your football team and hopefully in the success going forward, these guys are here, and they're getting a chance to see him and meet him.
Let me give you an example of what Tom's talking about. Last year, Cody Whitehair was not a huge name that people were talking about until this week when he got an opportunity to play at the Senior Bowl coming out of Kansas State, and they did not have a good season in Cody's senior year at K-State. But he had an opportunity to show his versatility at a number of different positions and really stood out. The Bears ended up taking him in the second round. Let's go back to 2008. The Senior Bowl MVP that year was Matt Forte. Right. And the Bears knew right away, this is a guy we're targeting based on his performance throughout the week, the versatility that he flashed the entire week down at the Senior Bowl. And he ended up, just like Cody Whitehair, a day one starter, never looked back, became one of the best running backs in Bears history.
You know, that's kind of the history of the All-Star games, because when I was coming out of college, it was big to be able to go to the Hula Bowl, which was played in Hawaii. So I was the right guard going to the Hula Bowl, and during the course of practices, the scouts came and said, hey, we want to see Tom play center. So that whole game with Dan Marino as the quarterback, I went over and switched and I played center the entire game. I never had a snap at offensive guard. So it's about the versatility that you can show the scouts that you have is really going to increase your value. It's like Jeff Rogers when you heard him in the coaching that he was coaching offense and defensive players, because you can be a defensive lineman, and when you get to make an NFL roster, you have to be part of extra point and field goal protection. One of our best exterior blockers in the history of my time with the Bears was Steve McMichael, and it was a really difficult job for you to learn because they've never done it before. And he plays on the outside edge, and he has a two-man responsibility. So when you look at the snippets of the NFL Network and you're seeing these guys go through their coaching, it is about coaching the entire team, every position, because you have to be a multiple position player unless you're a quarterback.
These guys are also mic'd up as they're coaching. Are there things that are being said from the Bears coaching staff when you're watching the North team? And, you know, we saw today Dow Loggins was mic'd up and the defensive line coach Jay Rogers mic'd up. So was Ed Donatell. And we know what the needs are for the Bears. Are there specific things you're paying attention to that are being said by these coaches?
No, I'm just looking. You know, the coaching comments are all encouragement and advice and things to look for and you know, something to pay attention to maybe that's going to transition from their college career to the NFL level or things they have to change about their NFL game that don't transition from their college game. But, I really pay attention to the specific drill and the specific requirements of the athlete and how their athleticism fits into the drill. Because sometimes the offensive player has a little bit more advantage than the defensive player and vice versa. But you do have to pay attention to their athleticism when they're on the field. I wish that we were privileged to meetings because that's when you learn a lot about a player. Their ability to understand, digest, and make sure they know their assignments when they take them out to the field. Because day one, there were a lot of hiccups. Day two, they looked more in tune. They looked more intelligent about what they're learning from day one to day two because they sat through another 3.5-hour meeting.
Your phone call's coming up at 312-644-6767. But let's go live now to Mobile, Alabama, site of the Senior Bowl, where ChicagoBears.com's Larry Mayer has been down there for a quick update. Larry, what's the news over the last 2 days in regards to the Bears?
Not a whole lot of news. Obviously, guys, three new assistant coaches are coming in with the Bears. And interestingly enough, they coach the positions where the Bears had excellent rookies at all three spots. The Bears have filled two of the spots. Interesting talking to Jeremiah Washburn, the new offensive line coach, some of the things that he wants to get done. And also the receivers coach, who's a guy who used to coach defense. So he has his knowledge of the game is pretty good at bringing in a guy like that that's going to work with Jordan Howard and some of those guys. So not a whole lot of news, but that's really it from the Bears' perspective. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see the practice today, but it was pretty windy. And I really, to be honest, wasn't that impressed with the arm strength of some of the quarterbacks. There were a lot of drop passes and also a lot of holding penalties on the defense in terms of coverage. They had college officials out there, and there were a lot of flags on the field.
Hey, Larry, are the Bears coaches and scouts staying around for the South team practice also to make sure they get an evaluation through drills of those guys?
Yeah, they are. They sit in the stands for that, or they can walk on the sideline. And the interesting thing about it this year, Tom, is that they're going to flip-flop tomorrow for 1 hour of practice, so the Bears coaches are actually going to work hands-on with the South team tomorrow, and the Browns coaching staff is going to work with the North team, so everybody gets a chance to see everybody out there. I think that's what they did last year when because Dak Prescott was not on the Cowboys team here, but they did flip-flop, and they got to work with them on one practice day.
Is there any one name out there that's getting a little bit of steam, or is there anybody that's taken a step backwards in the eyes of the scouts?
Well, I don't know about taking a step backwards, but some of the guys that have really stood out, a wide receiver named Cooper Kupp from Eastern Washington. I'm sure a lot of people are talking about him. He's a guy who has more receiving yards than any player in the history of college football at any level. And I really have been impressed with him and watched some of his interviews, and everybody's asking him the obvious question, do you have a chip on your shoulder? And his answers have been really interesting to me, that he's just saying that he doesn't really have a chip on his shoulder. He prepares for playing against the top talent the same way he does against every other team. He respects his opponents, and he's really impressed with me. And there's a safety from Connecticut named Obi. I believe it's Melon Fanwu. This guy just looks like a stud. He's listed at 6'3", 217.
Yes.
The guy's built like a Greek god. I mean, he looks like the most cut wide receiver you've ever seen. I was just watching him do some drills where they do the high point drill where they throw it up and he jumps there. He looked like Alshon Jeffrey doing that drill. And this is a guy that had, I believe he had 8 interceptions in college, so he's obviously got good ball skills. And that was an emphasis that Vic Fangio talked about today. Obviously, you guys know the Bears only produced 11 takeaways, and that's a big point of emphasis as far as increasing that total next year.
You know, it's amazing. Sometimes you have to forget about the logo on the helmet or where they went to school or even the what they look like, because you think of the most productive running back in college football history is his name what's Pumphreys? The running back from San Diego State, and I think he came in and weighed 168 pounds. So,
right.
You know,
you're throwing Adrian Peterson on me there for
no. Sometimes you have to go and you have to overlook the size of some of these guys, and you have to understand that the reason they're there is because the heart they play with.
Right. I mean, the interesting thing to me is you have guys here, obviously, from the powerhouse teams. And it seems to me, and I'm not by any stretch a college football expert, but it seems to me that most of the athletes of this game are on the South team. So when you read and look at these guys, all the Alabama guys are all on the South team. So there's not as great of athletes on the North team as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, you look at the roster, and it's a lot of Big Ten guys. And then you also see guys from, like, Lindenwood and, like I said before, Eastern Washington. And they're pretty much, I mean, as you know, Tom, everybody has the same opportunity to impress. I don't think the Bears coaches are looking at a guy like, oh, you played at a Division II school, so we're not going to give you an opportunity. Everybody gets the same opportunity to show what they can do out there.
Yeah, the guy that you were talking about, Tom, is a guy by the name of Donnell Pumphrey,
yes.
Who is the all-time rushing leader in FBS history. And he
six 200-yard games.
Yes, and he set the record in his hometown of Las Vegas during the season. It was a big thing. Remember when his dad came over and kind of mugged for the cameras at the same time? So pretty cool stuff. Larry, before we let you go, there is, at least as we speak right now, one position that is open on the Bears coaching staff on the defensive side of the ball. Clint Hurt left to go take over in Seattle. So who is going to be the outside linebackers coach for John Fox?
Zach, I do not have an answer for that right now, but I can tell you the Bears are really not in any hurry to fill that position. They are going to fill that position, but really all indications from Vic Fangio and also John Fox are that Vic Fangio will work hands-on with the outside linebackers. Much as he's done over the last 2 years, he may have a little bit more responsibility, but Vic told the reporters today that that's exactly what he did for all 4 years in San Francisco and also with previous stops in the NFL. So he's really going to assume most of that responsibility moving forward. I do believe they will add someone, but like I said, Fox and Fangio both said that they're not in any hurry to do that.
Larry, thank you for the update.
Thanks, Larry.
No problem, guys. I'm going to keep looking for those Notre Dame and Syracuse guys.
Right. Hey, there's a terrific receiver.
Right, he is.
From
making
Syracuse.
Plays.
Yeah, exactly. And the Bears will get their opportunity to work with him tomorrow when they deal with the South.
Notre Dame beats Syracuse this week in basketball.
Yes. Apparently, we're a football school now. It happens. I don't know how, but to get back to the point that Larry was making in regards to, and that was Larry Mayer from ChicagoBears.com, in terms of the outside linebackers, yeah, Vic Fangio is working with them this week on the North squad, and he's being assisted by his quality control guy on the defensive side of the ball, Sean Desai. So, again, there's a lot of experience between Fox and Fangio in terms of the hands-on stuff.
Well, Sean brings a lot of enthusiasm with him just for the opportunity, and these college kids should listen to what he has to say. But Vic Fangio is one heck of a coach. His track record speaks for itself.
I think you win in the trenches in football.
That's the smartest thing you've ever said,
the NFL.
Zach.
And when I heard both you and Larry talking about names, I heard you guys talking about the positions that are easy to look at with the eye and see who's doing well. It's a lot harder to determine what's happening in terms of line play, but you know better than most. So I want to get your take on what you've been watching in regards to these practices when it comes to line play. That's next with Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You know, that was, you know, a real problem position. If you look at, and I've talked about this, you know, as far as some of the things you look at evaluating offensive line play on a season is, you know, per rush average and per pass sack. You know, so there were some good things, but at the end of the day, it was time for a change, and, you know, we did it.
That is the voice of Bears head coach John Fox talking about what he didn't like in regards to the Bears offensive line during the 2016 football season, which is why he made a change. Dave Magazoo no longer around. Kevin Moy, I guess, is looking for another job in the National Football League. They brought in Jeremiah Washburn, who comes over from Miami. What do you know about him, his style, and what does that mean in terms of the way the Bears are going to block?
Sorry. I know more about Washburn from his days in Detroit because you get a chance to prepare and watch a lot of tape on Detroit a couple times a year, and then you're watching three or four games a year. He's a young coach. He's an aggressive coach. He likes his offensive line to get off the ball. But I think it's the challenge. I thought Dave Magazoo did a good job. If you go back and you look at the statistics attributed to the offensive line, they were as solid as they've been since 1986. averaging 5 yards a carry and I think 26 or 27 sacks. So, I mean, but Washburn, he, his dad's a defensive line coach. He's been raised in a football family, obviously. He's got a lot of experience at the NFL level. He did a nice job for Adam Gase this past year being the assistant offensive line coach down in Miami. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see, because the thing about it is the strength of the Bears offensive line is center guards. You're going to have to see where you're going to go with the offensive tackle position. Do you still believe that you can develop Charles Leno Jr. further in his career? And is Bobby Massey the answer at right tackle? So, you know, you still have some answers, but I think one thing about Washburn is he's going to have to take time to get to know his offensive line. You go back there, evaluate young college talent, and he's got some big guys out there. I think they have the biggest guy on their side at 6'8", 361. Zenner, his name is offensive tackle from USC. So, you know, there's a lot of different things you have to look at in terms of offensive line play, because it's not only athleticism, it's an extreme challenge of intelligence that you're able to make a change within an instant during the quarterback's cadence.
That's 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Travel to Punta Cana, Dominican Republic, with Apple Vacations and your favorite Chicago Bears players this spring. Visit applevacations.com/Bears for trip details. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access, taking your phone calls throughout the entire hour. Jim Miller, our good friend, will be joining us live from Mobile at the bottom of the hour. Had an opportunity to talk to Phil Savage, who does a terrific job running the entire Senior Bowl, to get his take on what he's seen this week. We'll hear that a little bit later on in the show. But, you know, getting back to the offensive line. So you've got Kyle Long coming off of what will be multiple procedures to get his body right with the leg and the shoulder before all is said and done. And he is going to spend most of the offseason rehabbing. He said he'll be ready to go when the season starts. But prior to that, he's got to get his body right. How much does that affect his development when you have a brand new guy coming in here teaching you different things on the offensive line?
Well, you know, he's got to make sure he gets the classroom work done, because when he does hit the field running, he's got to make sure that he has 100% understanding of the assignments and the way Washburn will teach them. And that's, you can do that, because anybody that goes through an injury issue has to stay in the classroom and stay into it mentally. The whole thing about Kyle is making sure that he gets his body healthy, because you can't afford to go out there and start the season three quarters healthy. You have to be 100% healthy to accept the abuse and the job requirements. And so that's, I think, is going to be Kyle's biggest challenge. Kyle's no dummy. He's a smart person that can learn the offensive line play. But again, it's different, you know, when you're rehabbing an ankle, rehabbing shoulders, you're getting back into your stance, making sure you have confidence, firing your hands into your opponent, making sure that you have the push that you need evenly off of both feet. Because, you know, that's one thing about offensive line plays, you're going to push as equal to your left as you will to your right. And you can't kind of give an indication to a defensive line that they see on film that, yeah, you're healthy pushing one way, but you're not healthy pushing the other way, because they'll go into attack mode and challenge you from the weakness of what they feel it is. And that offensive lineman, his name is Zach Banner. I said Zenner. Zach Banner, 6'8", 361.
Yes, Detroit. But yes. I think, and all the Zachs look alike, I think that it's something that the Bears never really got to experience last year, because, you know, when you look at Josh Sitton, and I know he made the Pro Bowl as an alternate, but the reality is I don't think we saw the best of Josh Sitton this past season, because the ankle kind of took away what he is as a football player, and he battled through that. And I know injuries are a thing, but I don't think you saw the best of Josh Sitton.
I agree, 100%. I think, too, is the game that was the most difficult for him was playing down in Houston. He was here for 1 week. And I don't care if you sat in meetings or you were schooled, you know, a countless amount of hours that week. You don't know what you do at the end of the season or 2 or 3 years into the offense. So I don't ever think that we saw the best of Josh Sitton.
Now, he played left guard. That was the position that Cody Whitehair essentially practiced the entire offseason prior to that first week of the regular season when he moved to center and did a terrific job there. But the Bears have another guy from Ryan Pace's first draft by the name of Hronis Grasu, who went down with the torn ACL on family day during that family fest practice. What's his future, and is there a possibility that you move Cody Whitehair, who has position flexibility, from a position where he played extremely well a year ago, the center position.
Yeah, I mean, Cody has the only opportunity to move. They're not going to move Hronas Gersu to offensive guard because he's not a guard. He's a center specifically. So if you get in there and Hronas Gersu has rehabbed himself back to your expectations, has he gained strength? Has he gained weight? Is he healthy in all areas that he needs to be to go out there and be competitive? The best case scenario is that you have two Pro Bowl quality centers, one being Cody Whitehair and hopefully the other one the development of Gersu. But again, there's a lot of questions that Hronas has to answer, because when he got injured, he was just rounding the corner at Family Fest practice and he blew his knee out. You have to make sure, again, like Kyle Long, that you're giving the effort into the weight room that is going to allow your body to sustain. You know, the thing about football, it's not a hard playing the game itself, because that's kind of the reward. It's the dedication to the offseason to get your body prepared to be able to play the game. And I think that's kind of goes understated a lot, as your investment in the weight room really allows you to be the durable football player that they hope for.
We have to take a commercial time out here. When we come back, though, we'll hit the position that everyone's talking about in regards to the Bears, and that is the quarterback position, because it's no secret that they are looking for a young quarterback to be the QB of the future. When we come back, we'll hear from the man who runs the Senior Bowl, and we'll hear from former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. Who are the guys that people are looking at down in Mobile? That's next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It always helps, you know, with somebody, you know, they take care of their job, but when you can inspire the people around you, I think, you know, those guys tend to be a little bit better, especially at the next level, especially at the quarterback position. You know, that's a little hard to tell after one practice, but you do look for things like that too, just their leadership ability and some of the intangibles.
That is the voice of Bears head coach John Fox talking about what he's looking for in a quarterback. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that the guy that the Bears are going to pick third overall is down there, but if the Bears go with a different position at number three overall, the quarterback that they're likely going to pick is probably a guy who's down in Mobile right now, and they're getting a firsthand look at these quarterbacks, and there's some pretty good ones, like the guy from Pittsburgh, the guy from California, Davis Webb, and Jim Miller and our good friend Pat Kerwin had an opportunity to sit down with Phil Savage, who runs the Senior Bowl, and they talked about the quarterbacks down there in Mobile to get a better look at kind of what's transpired over the first couple of days of practice.
Nate Peterman from Pitt, during the fall, there was a quiet buzz about him from the scouts.
Yeah.
He's got good eyes. He's got a quick arm. He's got timing in his feet. So I can see him fitting a West Coast offense. I said on a different interview earlier today that he sort of reminds me of a Kirk Cousins type.
Mm-hmm.
That type of quarterback, in terms of he's not overly physically gifted, but he's got mental gifts.
Oh,
he's got good eyes.
The package.
And he knows how to play the game. Davis Webb, on the other hand, as a quarterback that was only at Cal this past year, of course, he was in the same system with Jared
Yep.
Goff, and his numbers were off the charts, just like Goff's were. He's actually bigger. He's probably stronger. And I think he'll run somewhere in the same neighborhood,
Yep.
perhaps. We'll see. But I think there'll be some intrigue about Davis Webb as we go through the rest of the week. And, of course, the one in the in shot, the guy that – has more blanks to be filled in about him than any player on this field is Antonio Pipkin, the quarterback from Tiffin.
Yeah.
There were only three or four, maybe five teams that went through there during the fall. And, of course, he measured in at a shade under 6'1". He's 225 pounds. But when I popped his tape in, there were some subtleties about his play. And, Jim, you'll appreciate
Yep.
this, the way he used his eyes, his shoulders.
Yep.
He had good feet, timing in his feet where he could come off coverage and come back to a different receiver. And he was a bit of a dual-threat quarterback. He'd take off and run. And he's been coached by George Whitfield, who's one of these quarterback trainers, and that's his alma mater. And in this quarterback class, I'm like, you know what, let's roll the dice on
right.
on a player
yeah.
that he could maximize this opportunity into something that could be very significant for him.
Yeah, I saw him make a couple of nice throws on the move. I think both these teams want to, whether it's the Bears or, say, the Cleveland Browns, we know their secondaries have been somewhat. I think they're looking to upgrade. And I thought a couple of guys that have stood out, Phil, from the South squad, the LSU's Tre'Davious White cornerback. He's about 6 foot, 197. Jordan Lewis, you and I have talked about him. He's on the North squad out of Michigan, 5'11", 186. This guy, Douglas, out of West Virginia, he is huge for a corner, 6'2", 220. What do you got on those guys that I think have looked pretty good from what I saw from yesterday's practice and today?
Well, Tre'Davious White, of course, has been a mainstay for LSU, and I've had a chance to see him play a lot of football doing the color work for Alabama. And Tre'Davious, I think he's got a chance, if he runs fast enough, to maybe be a first-rounder when it's all said and done. He's got excellent cover ability. As an outside player, I think he's versatile enough that he could ultimately play inside if a team wanted to use him that way. Jordan Lewis, big reputation at Michigan. I'm not sure he's as big as what people thought he would be, but at the same time, he does have cover skills in the back end. And then Rasul Douglas from West Virginia, one-year starter, led the country in interceptions, had 8 picks this year. Now, he's in that Pete Carroll mode, tall, long arms, straight-line speed. But he can divert a receiver at the line of scrimmage.
That's Phil Savage talking with Jim Miller and Pat Kerwin earlier today from the Senior Bowl down in Mobile. And joining us from Alabama now is former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, who you often hear here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, Zach Zabin, Tom Thayer here. So, Jim, you've had a chance now to watch the Senior Bowl over the last 2 days, the practices that are taking place. You've had a chance to talk to a whole bunch of different people, coaches, executives, players. What stands out? What's the theme over these first 2 days?
Well, I think like anything else, it's normally sloppy the first day, and I think it starts to clean up as the week goes along, meaning, you know, you got guys that have never been in huddles before, the snap count of the quarterback, you know, yesterday being their first day in pads, a lot of incompletions and high throws, inaccurate throws by the quarterbacks. And then today, it tightened up a little bit for both squads. You know, I think the players understood what the coaches were looking for in terms of the one-on-one situations, whether it's pass rush or protection when backers are blitzing and the running backs have to really step up there and really just skull bone, you know, these linebackers while they're trying to rush and things like that. All the things that, you know, professional teams are looking for in the NFL. So it was a much tighter today, and I think the players did much better today. And I think really the overall theme is I think teams are pretty impressed, especially with the tight end group down here. This is a very athletic group of tight ends like we talked about.
Jim, just to get on the quarterback subject a little bit, Davis Webb out of Cal, 6'5", 229. He threw the ball, averaged 52 times a game. Are we seeing a Carson Wentz? Or are we seeing a Jared Goff from the same program? Who does he fit closer to?
I think he's not as athletic as Carson Wentz. I think he'd be a physical upgrade to Jared Goff, would be my opinion on him. And again, I think the reason why it took Jared Goff so long to get on the field this year for the Rams, I do think it was the transition of the offense. You know, Cal runs a different style of offense than what a lot of other teams, you know, even like what Carson Wentz was prepared for when he came out of North Dakota State. So I think Davis is in that same boat, but I think his arm's a little better than Jared Goff, and I think he's a little bit more athletic as well. He's got a nice elasticity, and he really has a good rope for an arm, and I thought he threw with a lot of good balance, and I liked his footwork today. He's been growing on me as the week's gone along.
You know, Jim, when I was in the NFL, the Cincinnati Bengals used to have a safety, David Fulcher. He was 6'3", 230 pounds. There's a safety down there, Meli Fuanua, if maybe you know his name, Melifonwu.
Yeah.
There you go.
Obi's out of Connecticut, and right. Man, he can close.
6'4", 215, they have him listed on the roster. But, Jim, you know foot speed required for a defensive back anticipation by a safety. Does he have it, and can he play?
I believe he has it, and I saw him today. There was a little toss play. It was an outside zone run by the running backs. It was Kareem Hunt out of Toledo, who was the running back who got the play, and he can run pretty good. And I saw, you know, when you look at Obi, he just had the closing speed where he just reacted, flew up there, and made something happen. And again, these guys are physical freaks now when you're looking at some of these sizes that safeties are coming in at. But you got to have the instincts. You got to be able to have the angles, because if you're too long and you start taking the wrong angles, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. But I know he is flashed, and a lot of people have talked about that Connecticut safety.
It's interesting that we're talking safeties now, because the old adage over the last few years has been you never take a safety in the top five, and the Bears are picking third overall. The reason I bring that up now is because we have seen a transition take place in the NFL with the way tight ends are being used, that the way defenses have combated this is by using the big hybrid linebacker safety guy like a Cam Chancellor. You're going to watch one in the Super Bowl in Keanu Neal of the Atlanta Falcons, and there are others around the league, Buchanan at Arizona. Do you think teams are changing the way they look at safeties early in the draft because of what's transpired?
Yeah, I think you really have to. You know, you look at teams like the Washington Redskins, what they did with the safety out of USC. They made a transition for him. Think about Carolina when they drafted Shaq Thompson. You know, I talked to Ron Rivera. He said, you know, we don't have to substitute if we just keep Shaq Thompson as basically a will backer, because they can just walk him out, whether it's a tight end or whether it's anybody else that they split out. They can stay in regular defense, but yet they've got a hybrid linebacker who's almost a safety to adjust to that. And so the other guy I was thinking of for Washington is that Sua Cravens, who they drafted out of USC last year. So I think it is changing. And like I said about the tight ends that are entering the draft this year, I think that trend is going to continue, because I think that's what teams are going to have to look for. These six tight ends that are down here at the Senior Bowl, I'm not kidding you, every one of them can run. And all of them, certainly some have better skills than the other. That Jeremy Sprinkle, I know he's from Arkansas. He'll have to deal with some off-the-field issues, what he had at his bowl game, you know, whatever it was. He stole like $300 worth of stuff out of a store. I know he'll have to address with the personal issues.
But it was the bowl sponsor.
There. Yeah. But he's an inline tight end who can run. This guy's 260 pounds. He's 6'6". He made play after play today. Michael Roberts out of Toledo, he's 6'5", 270. Same thing. This guy is running right by some of these defensive backs that we're talking about. Janu Smith from Florida International, he did a lot of things today. He's 6'6", 232. That can really give defenses some problems. Of course, O.J. Howard from Alabama has looked phenomenal, but you're going to want to get to know this guy, Gerald Everett, out of South Alabama. He's a local product down here, 6'4", 240, probably one of the most athletic tight ends I've ever seen. And some people, I know there's some analysts out there that have him going in the first round. I don't have him that high, but I could say, you know, a mid-third rounder that probably is going to work himself up to a high second-round pick, just how well he has ran and shown his athleticism down here. So it's going to affect the defensive back population, because now they've got to be the athletes to contend with some of these monsters that are coming out on the offensive side of the ball.
Hey, Jim, Cooper Kupp, 6'2", 198, Washington State. Is he Jordy Nelson or better, or is he has the ability to develop into that type of player?
Yeah, I thought, you know, he ran by some defensive backs today that I thought were, you know, pretty good guys. Here we're talking about Jordan Lewis out of Michigan. He ran right by him. I think it was the first day in practice. So he definitely showed the speed. I think he can bulk up even more. He's listed at 6'2", 205, and he's really impressed with some of the things that he's done. So he was a guy who I highlighted, and I think he has stood out so far during the Senior Bowl.
Jim, on the way out here, and we thank you for your time, real quick, Dabo Swinney went out of his way to pump up Deshaun Watson, saying that if the Browns pass him up one overall, they're passing up on Michael Jordan. Is that just a coach talking about his player, trying to pump him up, or do you see something really special in Watson?
Well, if he wanted to compete, he would be here at the Senior Bowl. Last time I checked, Michael Jordan was never scared to compete. But I wish he would have come, and I'm sure that coach thinks highly of him with how he played in the bowl game. I just wish he would have been here to really show his wares and sell himself as a person.
Jim, thank you so much. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, guys.
Jim Miller spending some time with us down in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl. I don't have a problem with Deshaun Watson not going. I mean, after you've done what he's done back-to-back years against Alabama, that's your resume. Bears All Access rolls on. When we come back, here's one for you. 312-644-6767. Who do the Bears need back immediately? Kevin White or Kyle Long? Your thoughts next as we roll on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
When you look at tape, you're looking at helmet and shoulder pads and a jersey number. You know, so they could be robots for all you know. But you get to know the person, the guy, how he competes, you know, how he deals with things, whether it's stress or adversity or whatever they deal with. You know, and guys that can handle that the best usually have the best success in the NFL.
I'm not sure initially that John Fox wanted to go down there and be one of the coaches at the Senior Bowl, but when San Francisco's coaching staff was fired, the Bears had an opportunity. They were next up on the list, so they go down there. They're coaching the guys at the Senior Bowl on the North team, and as you heard from Fox, there is an advantage to it, the opportunity to see what guys are like. He compared it almost to the beginning of training camp when all the new players come in together and you finally get an opportunity to see what guys are like both on and off the field, and it helps build your football
team. That's sugar coat and bologna right there. That's cooking bologna with sugar, because the reason you're there is because you had a bad record. And I think there's every Chicago Bear fan out there would rather see Ryan Pace and his staff down there scouting the talent rather than John Fox and his staff down there coaching this game.
But we heard last year, remember, Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott baloney. If you don't know that he was a good football player before you coached him an All-Star game, then you don't deserve to be scouting players in the NFL.
Look how many teams passed up on this guy, and it can't just be because of the off-the-field
DUI. Of it is, though. It's Zach, in 80, like I said, we were talking about last week, it's the same thing with Marino. You get a bad, you know, kind of spin of the rumor mill. Now people try to avoid you. Dan Marino, he's in the Hall of Fame because he's a great player.
Right, but he dropped the first round in the greatest quarterback draft that the NFL has ever seen. So that I can kind of understand. There are a lot of people that probably got fired because they let Dan Marino go all the way down.
Well, you know, last year with Miami Dolphins, they did a pretty good job of taking Laramie Tunsil. But you know what, the clip that they saw of him minutes before the draft was getting ready to start, that did scare a bunch of teams.
But it was the inside knowledge. Remember, Adam Gase shares an agent with Laramie Tunsil.
Right.
And that kind of inside knowledge that the Bears are picking up because they're working with these guys.
All I'm saying is, as a season ticket holder, I don't want to see my coaching staff coaching the Senior Bowl. I want to see my team's scouts down there scouting the Senior Bowl.
Go off the field with Inside the Bears. Tune in weekly Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50 and Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago at 10:35 p.m. for unique stories and interviews exclusively for Bears fans. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Zach Zabin, Tom Thayer with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. So I asked the question before the break. What's your answer? You know, the Bears have two prominent first-rounders that were banged up last season. Kevin White, Kyle Long. Which one do the Bears need back immediately in order to have success?
Kevin White, and I need him to stay healthy for the long haul, from the beginning of OTAs till the end of the football season. Because when you look at Kevin White, timing is essential for him to be successful, not only in the run game, but more importantly in the passing game. He has to let the quarterback know how he runs routes, how he comes out of his break. Where does he like the ball specifically on certain types of throws? And then Kevin White repetitiously needs to be on the field. And one thing when you look at Kyle Long's position, Kyle's going to be a great football player, but they do have Ted Larson who can step in there and play the position at a high level until Kyle Long gets healthy. They don't have a Kevin White waiting in the wings, because if it is Cameron Meredith and Kevin White lining up with the first team offense, I need reps by Kevin White, and I need him out there, like I said, every single day. I need him living in the meeting room. I need him with wide receivers coach Curtis Johnson getting help.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. What do you think? Who do the Bears need immediately, Long or White? Herb is on the south side. Herb, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Herb.
Appreciate it. Hey, what's going on, guys? I think that it really depends on two other guys. The importance of those guys really depends on when do you get Hronis Grasso back, and whether or not you get Alshon Jeffrey back.
If
Hronis Grasso is back and he's the center that Ryan Pace hoped he was as a third-round pick, then you kind of got some flexibility with Whitehair and Sitton, so that kind of you can afford to wait for Kyle Long to be 100% with that one. And if you bring but if you bring Alshon back, then you can await the same amount of time for Kevin White to get healthy. But if one of those guys does not come back, then it really becomes paramount for those other guys to get back early, especially Kyle Long with a new offensive line coach. You got to get that cohesiveness back. The Atlanta Falcons are the only team in the league that started their whole offensive line 16 games. That's vital. So it just depends on whether or not Hronis Grasso is back and healthy and whether or not Alshon comes back.
Herb, I love your argument. But what if you had to have one of them the back right now, do you feel that it is Kevin White because he needs more time on the field? And even though Kyle has limited experience at offensive guard, experience at tackle, but don't you kind of feel like as a Bears fan and as a guy that has a former number one on draft choice, it is Kevin White? Or, you know, maybe you don't. What do you think?
Well, I don't disagree with 85 Bears. That's first of all.
No.
No, in all seriousness, though, I do feel you. Kevin White has to be more important. He's got to come back first. Kyle Long, we know what he is. We still don't know what Kevin White is. We think we know what it is, but we don't really know. We've seen him for four games. We've seen some flashes. We've seen him in camp, but we don't really know. So, yeah, it's absolutely vital that he comes back. If I had to pick one, I would say it's more important that Kevin White comes back because we don't yet know what he is. We hope, but we don't know for sure.
Yeah,
thanks for the call, Herb. I really appreciate it. And Herb makes a great point.
Yes.
You know, I don't think you can expect a guy coming off two traumatic leg surgeries in back-to-back years to be the kind of player physically that you thought you were getting when you drafted him seventh overall. That doesn't mean that he can't eventually get there. You know, we saw, and I always give the example of Mark Colombo, Jerry Angelo's first draft pick, who had some significant knee issues as a Bear, never quite materialized here because it took him a while to get healthy. So with the Bears, he's considered a bust, but went on to have a very productive career with the Dallas Cowboys. Now he's part of their coaching staff. So Kevin White may be a player years from now, but how can you go into the 2017 season relying on Kevin White to be a guy when you don't even know physically if he can do the things where you can train him to be a good receiver?
Well, you know, that's why Mark Mariani and guys like Zach Miller are on different teams, because they suffered horrific injuries and they've been able to bounce back and they've been able to have a productive NFL career because of it. So that's kind of what you're counting on, is you're counting on these guys to be the next medical miracle of the NFL. And Kevin White is, look, we're not expecting him to catch every one of his catches is going to be a touchdown pass. We just need him for an average, an explosive 8-9 yards off the ball, make a first down catch, and then be ready to stand up and play the next play. So I think that's the thing that we need out of Kevin White.
All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, Tom, here's a question I want you to think about. There are two teams playing for the championship in a couple of weeks, the Falcons and the Patriots. What can you learn from those teams that if you're Ryan Pace and you're trying to build a champion of your own with the Bears, what do you take away from those teams, the way they were constructed?
All right,
we'll get your answer next. And don't just say quarterback, because we obviously know quarterback's the most important position. But if that were true, Aaron Rodgers would be playing for the Super Bowl. So we'll find out next. How do you construct a champion from a champion? 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You're just looking for talent, to be honest with you. You know, just some movement patterns, guys that can bend, guys that can get their bodies in the positions that you know they have to get into to be a good player in the NFL. You know, so it's a lot of little things. It's just watching a guy play and the way he plays and moves, what he can do with his body, what he can't, will it translate to the NFL?
Bears defensive coordinator Vic Fangio giving you an inside look as to what he's looking at when he's watching these guys practice at the Senior Bowl. He's down there helping John Fox coach the North team. The game is on Saturday, but the real work gets done during the week in practices when you can have that one-on-one time with the coaches. Get round-the-clock news, video, and updates straight from your favorite team. Download the Chicago Bears official app and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest content all year long. And remember this, for specialized coverage of Jordan Howard and Josh Sitton at the Pro Bowl and the Senior Bowl with the Bears coaching staff, visit ChicagoBears.com or check the Bears' Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat channels for photos, video, articles, and more. The Chicago Bears Network is at both events to bring you all of the latest Bears news and insight. And we had Larry Mayer on earlier from the Senior Bowl. I know Lauren Screedon is out there in Orlando watching both Josh Sitton and Jordan Howard at the Pro Bowl practicing.
It's a nice assignment.
Yeah, it's it beats being in the studio here in this cold weather and
doesn't.
Snow.
I mean, she has a good assignment, but I'd rather be here.
Well, you know what? The fact that I get to talk football with you, to me, is a big deal. Hey, Bill Belichick calls it snap face.
Yes.
Yeah. So it really is amazing. Since Tom Brady joined the Patriots, Belichick and Brady have been now to 7 Super Bowls.
Yes.
7.
Amazing. But I still think Belichick is more amazing in that duo than Tom Brady is, because Belichick is the guy that inspires the rest of the team, not only Tom Brady. He's the one that devises a game plan week in and week out to take advantage of the opponent's weaknesses, both on offense and defense. When you see him throw a flea flicker for a touchdown, there's something that somebody noticed, and they brought it to Bill Belichick's attention. And do teach a play that is so deceptive, it takes a lot of hard work. And then to make sure everybody did their assignment exactly well, so they didn't give one indicator away to the 11 guys on defense, it tells you a lot about the minor details that Belichick pays attention to. And when I did play for George Allen, who's a Hall of Fame coach, he used to preach about the little things. The little things were the reason that you were going to win games. And when he retired, he had the highest winning percentage in the history of the NFL. So, you know, great coaching is paying attention to the little details.
We'll break down what you think is going to happen on Super Bowl Sunday next week when we have a little bit more time. But in our final few moments here on Bears All Access, you're Ryan Pace. You're John Fox. You're watching what transpired with both New England and Atlanta. What are the takeaways if you want to put your organization in the position to win a championship?
When they hired the head coach at Atlanta, his first requirement was team speed defensively. That's what he went and told his general manager to go out and get him. He didn't tell him size of players and all these other requirements needed. He needed team speed. And I think it's evident by the Atlanta Falcons defensive football team, but the football team as a whole, because you had Matt Ryan in place, you had Julio Jones and some of these other guys. They went out and got Alex Mack from the Cleveland Browns in the offseason to come and play Pro Bowl center for them. But his first requirement coming from Seattle was that couldn't need the speed you needed defensively, and that's what they went and got for him.
So if you're Pace, if you're Fox, Vic Fangio was talking about that need for talent, you start with speed and then work your way.
If I'm playing against Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford a couple times a year, some of the offensive weapons that they have in Minnesota, team speed defensively is always an asset.
Now you have a better idea of what the Bears are going to be looking for throughout free agency and the draft, thanks to Tom Thayer. We'll do this again next week. For Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman, saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.